Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live today at 312 Pizza Company here in Germantown for the national championship game. A lot of national championship game talk we got to get into later today, as well as betting it with Carolines. But we are here today, Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark drink, Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, dot. Calm. So yesterday, the Titans claimed the number one seed in the AFC for the first time since 2008, and it is the third time overall that the Titans and Oilers franchise has held the number one seed in the conference. And it's funny because, Caroline, you may be too young for the NFL yearbook, but that used to always be like a big deal when I was a kid. You know, they would have the highlight videos of each year, NFL yearbook. And during the summer, ESPN would just show these NFL yearbooks on a loop. So it was like, you know, at 2 o'clock, it'll be the Jets. At 3 o'clock, it'll be the Patriots. At 4 o'clock, it'll be the Cowboys. At 6 o'clock, and somewhere around like 2 or 3 in the morning, they would have on like the Houston or the Tennessee Oilers, year highlights. And I remember the 2000 Titans highlights. And when the Titans beat the Cowboys 31-0 in order to get the number one seed, it was a Christmas Day game. Jeff Fisher on the highlight video in the locker room after the game had a game ball, and he put it up in the air and said, for the first time in this franchise's history, Mr. Adams, number one seed, and threw a game ball to Bud Adams. And of course, everybody got up and cheered because the guy who's checks gets up there and gets it. Yeah, everybody's going to make sure to clap. So I actually asked the Titans today. I reached out. I said, hey, did Mike give Amy a game ball after the game was over in the locker room? And I couldn't get it confirmed if they did or didn't. But I want to give Amy Adams Strunk a game ball today because I saw something interesting. We were talking about coaches that got fired. And Mike Lombardi, you know, former general manager in the NFL, and he said sometimes teams fire their coaches and they don't know why they win or why they lose. And I think fan bases are kind of that way too. And so sometimes I think people don't understand why the Titans are where they are. And I would just ask it to you like this, right? If you took over a franchise, and when you are the owner, you are taking over the franchise, regardless of how much you're hands on or hands off, when you buy the club, you're in charge. Amy Adams Strunk inherited her share of the Titans, a third of the organization. Her sister's husband, Tommy Smith, who had worked in the front office, Tommy Smith, when Bud Adams died, was given the franchise, basically to run. And it was terrible. Hires Ken Wisenhunt. There's a big power struggle between Wisenhunt and Rustin Webster. The team is terrible. 1 year of Tommy Smith, and they got him out of there. And Amy took over, and the NFL didn't like it. The NFL said, hey, somebody's got to have the majority ownership here. And the Titans brought Steve Underwood, a lawyer, back in to kind of set everything up and set it right or whatever, and they made Amy Adams Strunk the controlling owner. And that 2015 year, they were the worst team in the NFL. And I took every call, and fans wanted them to sell the team, sell it to Peyton Manning, get rid of the organization, sell the Titans. And that was, we talked about that like every day. And you never heard much from Amy. But Corey Curtis kind of clued me in. And he was like, it's different with Amy in charge. And 2 months into the year, Ken Wisenhunt, in the second year of a 5-year contract that paid him $5 million a year, got fired because they couldn't deal with him anymore. It was too much. He's got to go. So they fired him, which was kind of shocking. Because everybody who had covered the Titans up until then thought the Titans were too cheap of an organization to be able to pay out that kind of money for something. They did it. Amy was willing to do it. They go searching for a general manager. Steve Underwood's in charge of it. Amy owns a team. They called Floyd. Floyd got them John Robinson. Those are smart decisions that are made by smart people. They brought in Mike Vrabel. You all love Mike Vrabel. You want to campaign for Vrabel for Coach of the Year. You guys love him. That move has worked out. They made tough decisions. They moved on from Mariota. They moved on from DeMarco Murray. They moved on from fan favorites, Jarrell Casey, things like that, that are not easy for an owner to do. And so I just look at it like this. When Amy Adams Strunk inherited the Titans, and or when she took over in a management role, one that Floyd was stunned. And I don't know Amy that well. I know her. I don't know her that well. Floyd obviously knew her pretty well because he used to run the team and her dad owned it. And they were obviously very, very close. And Floyd was like, I could never imagine Amy running an NFL team. And he was just thrilled with how she was doing it. And so when I see you take over a team at 2-14 and there's no fans in the stands and there's ticket scandals and all kinds of stuff, and now you're the number one seed in the AFC. You've been to the playoffs for the last 5 years. You've had six straight winning seasons. You got to think about why you win. And Amy Adams Strunk is a big part of it. And I have never been told by anybody that you have to say a positive word about the owner. Nobody has said something. When we've criticized them at the highest level, I never get calls that say Amy Adams Strunk's mad or Amy Adams Strunk. I don't ever hear any of that. I don't think she cares. But then when you talk to her, and I do talk to her every now and then, I tell how much she cares about the fans and how much she cares about putting a winner out there and how much she cares at the game. When they inducted Floyd into the Ring of Honor, I was up there in the suite with the Reese family. They came in the second half, and when things didn't go well, she was not happy now. You know, she cares about this team and this organization. She cares about you, all the fans. And we were talking about this yesterday during the pregame show. And I thought it was really interesting. Chris Sanders, former player. You know, Chris was here for the glory days of the Steve McNair, Eddie George Titans. Listen to him talk about Amy Adams Strunk yesterday as she has managed this franchise. Take a listen.
And I really respect her for doing this because the relationship that we had, the organization of former players, it was like a disconnect.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a total disconnect. I mean, you have guys that didn't want to come back for homecoming because they were so a disconnect.
But yeah, Chris Hope showing up for games as a Titans alum, and he's more welcome in the Steelers locker
That's
room
what I'm saying.
Than he was the Titans
100%.
Locker room.
And it's gotten better. I mean, not just in my era, but you have guys that play for the Houston Oilers, same team, but she brought those guys in and then had things in Houston. It just shows you that she doesn't just care about the players now, but she cares about the former players and the former players before me. Great job, Ms. Strunk.
Mark Howard's covered this team doing the pregame show with us since the day they moved here. Here's what Mark Howard said about Amy Adams Strunk's impact.
Well, I think that Amy, in a lot of ways, reflects how the rest of the league looks at the Titans, and that is underestimated because she doesn't want to, you know, have her face in, you know, in the media. She's not like Jerry Jones, where she wants to be the face of the franchise, but she has built infrastructure, within the organization, hiring a lot of people. She hasn't been like her dad. She has poured money, back into the franchise, renovating the facility. But again, there are so many more people there, because Amy wants this franchise run right. Mm-hmm. And quietly, she has become a force in the league. And again, a lot of people said, there's a woman taking over the Titans. Well, you know what? It's a very capable woman. And
absolutely.
To me,
absolutely,
she's had a pretty good batting average since she's got here.
Titans are the number one team in the AFC. When she took over the job, they were tied with Tampa Bay for the worst team in the NFL. It can't be. Well, she hired a good president in Steve Underwood because they're on their second president, Burke Nyhill. It can't be, well, she got lucky with a draft pick because the best draft pick that they've made since she's been the owner was hurt for half the season. It can't be, well, she got lucky with a coach because she's had two. And they haven't had a losing season. And they've gotten better and better and better. And not everything's gone their way. But just the Amy that I know, and again, I don't know her very well, just very briefly. I know bad ownership. I know good ownership. I know how sports teams should be run. And I just, again, I don't know if Vrabel gave her a game ball yesterday, but he should have. If he did, great. If he didn't, he should have. Because everything that every Titan fan's excited about now, I mean, playoff tickets, people want to go. people want to go. They want tickets. They got to. They. I mean, I've had games where I'm like, hey, anybody want to go to a game? Anybody want to go? It's different now. And so we give out game balls on this show. Tannehill got one. Dontrell Hilliard got one. But the big one, Amy Adams-Strunk gets a game ball for, again, the first time in her tenure as owner of the Titans. They have the number one seed in the AFC. Bud Adams started the franchise in 1960. Okay? They were never the number one seed in the AFC until 2000. So it took him 40 years to get the number one seed. It took her six. I think that's pretty impressive. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And I'm just going to say this. And I said this on the pregame show yesterday, but I want the fans to hear this. This is the kind of person Amy Adams-Strunk is. The Titans, when it came to their Ring of Honor and their Hall of Fame, it was important to her. But the signage of the way that it was, and Paul Kaharsky used to just rip the Titans about this all the time, but the signage at the stadium was not great. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't want to do a lot to that Ring of Honor or Hall of Fame until they got better signage and like a better way to kind of, you know, illustrate the players that they thought were great players in their organization. And so when Amy Adams-Strunk found out that Floyd was sick, which was very much a secret, and he would have kicked any of our rear ends if he had known that somebody was saying something, whatever. He didn't want anybody knowing. He didn't want anybody to say anything. He didn't want anything. He didn't even want me to know. When Amy Adams-Strunk found out that he was sick, she made sure that he was in that Ring of Honor, and she made sure that he knew. And so in the last month of his life, he didn't talk to anybody. He didn't take phone calls. He didn't return text messages. He didn't return text messages to Belichick and Saban. But when Amy Adams-Strunk called, he answered the phone. And she told him he was going in the Ring of Honor. And whenever you get mad at the Titans, because right now it's easy to like the Titans. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the number one team in the AFC. But there's going to be a point in time where things aren't good. But when that comes, just remember who you have that owns this team and how much she cares about the things that actually matter. And she cares about the fans. And she cares about the stadium. And she cares about those things. And you heard Chris Sanders talk about the former players. And she cares about it. You got people that are like, this is stupid to have a Houston Oilers weekend. She wants them to know that they've got a franchise that cares about them, even if they're not in Houston anymore. And so I think that, like, that's something that is important to me to highlight when you have this kind of platform. And, again, it's easy to like the Titans today because they're winning. But this is what Amy Adams-Strunk is about. And I have been impressed. You heard Chris is impressed. Mark is impressed. Talk to Corey Curtis. And it's not about sucking up to the owner. It's not about liking the owner. It's not about being friends with the owner. Because I don't really even consider myself friends with the owner. But just telling you, the Titans have good ownership. And, you know, the Predators had horrible ownership for a while. They got good ownership. And, boom, things turned around. The Bridgestone experience was better. The team was in the Cup final. This is what's happened with the Titans. And I don't think it's an accident right now that you've got one of the best hockey teams and one of the best football teams. I see your phones. I wanted to go to them sooner. We'll go right to them next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're live at 312 Pizza Company today on a Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. Naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
And not knowing who you're going to play, Mike, until another week away, what can you do as far as advanced work to kind of put yourself in the best position to kind of hit the ground running when you do know who you're going to play?
Well, we've played everybody but the Bengals and the Raiders, so probably, you know, get some advanced work done on them and, you know, continue to focus on us and what we have to do better and how we have to play better and, you know, try to find ways to coach better and get healthy and continue to work on things that we think are important to help you win.
There you go. That was Vrabel talking today about what's he going to do during the bye week. I think he's going to get ready for the Bengals. That's what he's going to do. I think it's either going to be the Bengals or the Patriots. I think those are the two teams you're most likely to play The Bengals are the well, I guess the Bengals are the Raiders, because if the Raiders beat the Bengals,
that's who you'd see as the lowest seed.
Well, no, because the Patriots are lower than the Raiders. The Patriots are six.
And what seed are the Raiders?
The Raiders are five.
Oh, okay. Well, then
so
it
you
would
can
be the
play
Patriots.
Right. So you could play anybody. You could play anyone from the Bengals to the Steelers. So if the Steelers beat the Chiefs, you play the Steelers. If the Chiefs win and the Patriots beat the Bills, you play the Patriots. If the Chiefs and the Bills win, then you play the winner of Raiders and Bengals. So I think Vrabel's probably going to look at it like that. Let's go to your phones as promised. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're live at 312 Pizza Company. Ray has been waiting patiently and is up next on Ryan Tannehill. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Ray.
Best show on air, Jared, as always.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys so much.
Sure, thank you.
Everything you said about Miss Amy is so true, and let me say this about her. It don't, you know, I remember when she first took over and everybody was talking about a woman taking over the Titans. Thank God a woman did. That woman, not just any woman. This woman is the daughter of Mr. Bud Adams. I mean, she's been around football her whole life, and here's where she was smart and very wise. She went and got good advice from people all around her, and when she got that advice together, she thought, you know what? I'm not going to reinvent the wheel, but I'm going to go try to get a hold of the wheel that works best in this league for the past, I don't know, umpteen years in New England, let's say. And I'm proud to say that the GM for Brady's and Belichick's and that ownership and that organization, their first few Super Bowls come from a guy that is from Union City, Tennessee, who she went and got from them, brought him back to Tennessee, and it started with the GM, and she knew that. Not only did it start with the GM, she knew the second most important spoke would be the coach, and the third would be the quarterback, because the quarterback is the one who touches the ball first. He's the one that has to make up for everybody reading a defense that makes a mistake. He's the one that takes the blame every time he throws an interception when the receiver misread the defense, and especially if they're backups and they don't run the right route. He don't point fingers. He's a real winner. He's got a Brady mindset to him, and that's the only kind of quarterback they would have taken, and he was right there in Miami. What did he do in Miami? He didn't have the organization around him. He did not have the ownership around him. What did Miss Amy do? She went and got both, all three spokes that start the wheel out to be truly balanced, put them in place, and then all the spokes around them, including the good defense. And, man,
so,
I can't speak enough for that woman.
I appreciate your call, and I do give – I mean, I just spent 20 minutes giving Amy Adams Strong a bunch of credit. I mean, I don't think that – Amy doesn't involve herself on the level of finding the quarterback. She wasn't – it wasn't Amy's decision to trade a fourth-round pick to the Dolphins for a backup. That wasn't – she didn't do that. But I do think what she did do – you know, what is kind of her jurisdiction was, I mean, like, obviously I'm biased, but they listened to Floyd. They knew that what they were doing in the football department was not working. That it was not working of Tommy Smith, who had spent time, you know, in Houston, but also here working for the organization as a vice president. Tommy Smith didn't have a clue. And so they went out and got Steve Underwood, and they asked Floyd who to hire, and he told them John Robinson. And that, I think, I'm not going to say that was the extent of it with her, but at that point, you know, she went and let John do his job. And I'm sure she was involved in what, you know, whatever went down between Mike Mularkey and John Robinson. And I'm sure that wasn't very comfortable for her, because I know she really liked Mike Mularkey. But, like, that was what she did. Let's not forget some of the other things. The draft. You know, the things that, you know, the NFL-related issues, you know, they have certainly heard Mark Howard in the clip we played say that she's really become kind of a force inside the league. Joe is up next on the Titans and the win yesterday. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Jared. Thanks for taking my call, brother.
Sure.
Man, I'll just be real quick. I just can't believe it, how well the Titans done under her ownership. And here's one thing you can say is that she really has allowed John Robinson to do his job, and just, you know, she played GM. I mean, she played owner, and let John Robinson play GM. And I think at the end of the day, that's just what you got to do. And then here's something to think about, though, Jared. Think about this, brother. Come playoff time, game one, we're going to be full strength with Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones. Who's going to stop us, baby? Tell me who's going to stop us. Y'all have a good one, baby. Tighten up. Let's
Thank
go.
You, Joe. I think the Titans are going to be in the best spot they could possibly be in. They're going to be incredibly healthy. They got some catches for Julio Jones yesterday, which I think was a good sign. Anthony Firkser might actually not just be a complete and total stiff, which would be a nice, you know, step in the right direction. Again, defense, they feel rather, you know, knock on wood, injury free. I think they can lose to all six AFC playoff teams.
But I also think that they could beat.
Sure, but he's like, who's going to stop us? Like, the Titans are so good, nobody's going to stop them. Nobody's going to get in the
Texans
way.
Texans almost stopped in the second half yesterday.
I think this year, what the NFL wants is parity. They want the difference between the best team and the worst team to be an eyelash, and that's what it is. And so I don't think the Titans have any room. And you just brought up yesterday. Yesterday's a great point. I don't think the Titans have any room to get cocky. And that is the biggest thing. You all want to pump Vrabel's tires? Knock yourself out. To me, that's the biggest key the whole rest of the way is, can Vrabel keep them focused and get the best football out of them for three more games? Charlie is up next on Brandon Staley and the Chargers and has been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, buddy. I really enjoyed your comments about that lady.
Sure.
She is all, and I think it's direct correlation how well they're doing now is how she handles everything. But the coach for the Chargers, back when the Seahawks and the Patriots are playing the game and the cornerback intercepts the ball at the very end, I love watching the NFL films show. Everybody was telling Belichick to take a timeout, including the guy that just got fired by the Dolphins today. He's like, hey, coach. You know, the clock's still running. He goes, I got it. He was cool as a cucumber. He said, I'm not going to let them off the hook, because he could tell they were out of sorts.
Sure.
That guy, that analytics guy for the Chargers, that's what he is. He's an analytics guy. He's sitting over there. He called timeout and saved them, man. The daggum Las Vegas Raiders were going to let the daggum clock run out and take a time. Yeah, the coach said it today. He not so many words, but he said,
no,
like,
Bisaccia admitted it. Bisaccia said, we talked on the sideline about that situation, and then they called timeout, and we popped the run. And this is no different, Charlie, and I appreciate your call, and you're spot on. This is no different than at the end of a half. Team gets the ball back with a minute 31 on the clock. Go into halftime. Titans do this all the time. You hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. Derrick gets three. Okay? Next play, take a knee in the locker room, on to halftime. Derrick gets 26 on that first carry.
It's a different ballgame.
Timeout. Now let's get into the 2 minute. Now let's try to get a field goal. Now let's try to get set up. The Raiders were running the ball, but they were looking at it. The one thing the Raiders were not going to do was they were not going to give the ball back to the Chargers. Mm-hmm. No matter what, they were not giving the ball back to the Chargers. And everybody could probably realize that. Like, everybody could sit there and say, oh my God, they're not going to give the ball back to the Chargers. And what Staley couldn't realize is they're running the ball, and he was so afraid of them popping a big run that he wanted to get his defensive personnel in there, and so he called the timeout. And once he called the timeout, the Raiders were like, well, we're going to have to run it again, and they ended up running it into field goal range. I mean, it was truly a lack of feel for the game. And I feel bad for Brandon Staley because I understand what he was thinking. He just thought something stupid. He just was worried about the defensive personnel that was on the field. And there's just certain times that you can't take that timeout no matter what. And he went and did. He took the timeout. And I got to tell you, they did something yesterday on the broadcast that I thought was kind of bullcrap. And when he went for it on the 4th and 2 at his own 19 and he didn't get it and essentially gave the Raiders 3 free points. And they criticized him for doing it, which was the right thing. And then they talked on TV, and they put up a graphic, like the AmazonAnalyticsStat.com, and it was like if they had gotten it, it would have raised their odds of winning from 35% to 45%. If they hadn't gotten it, it lowered it to 26%, and if they punted, it would have stayed 35%. And I was listening to Jimmy Johnson talk today, and Jimmy Johnson was like, even if you get that first down, what are the odds of you not having to punt later in that drive? And usually they're pretty good. It's like Floyd would say, you see a pass early in the game that's a, you think it's a catch, and the player's like, throw the flag, throw the flag, throw the flag. And even if you think he might have caught it, you have to think to yourself, how big is this play worth challenging? Because I might need this challenge later at the end of the game. And I just think they totally screwed. I mean, I just think Staley, I think he can't get out of his own way. He cost him that Chargers game. He cost him this game. And I didn't watch any other, or he cost him the Chiefs game on Thursday Night Football. He cost him this game. I didn't watch any other game they played this year. I'm sure he screwed up other games this year.
And that's the thing with Brandon Staley, is that was such a bad decision with such high stakes. That was a decision that cost the Chargers the playoffs. So that independently is a very bad move.
How can those players look that coach in the face?
But that is just one of a series of bad decisions that Brandon Staley has made so far this season.
How can those players look at him in the locker room during a team meeting and not think, you totally screwed us, coach? And you can't have that. Once the players think, hey, you ruined it, that's it. And I'll tell you, if I own the Chargers, I'd fire them. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So I am not willing. This may be groupthink. This may be generic. I made a mistake. I made a mistake earlier this year. I am not making it tonight for the national championship game. We will get to that next. 615-737-1025. We are live at 312 Pizza Company in Germantown, where they'll be giving away Dirk's Bentley tickets tonight. So be here for the national championship game. They got Chicago-style pizza and pizza by the slice until 3 o'clock. So for a lunch spot, not a bad idea. 312 Pizza Company coming out to win those tickets. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those are my guys. They take great care of my home. You see that Hiller logo right there on the ice at Preds games? They're proud supporters of the Preds, proud supporters of the Vols, proud supporters of Vanderbilt, and they will take great care of your home, and I can promise you that because they take great care of my home. To help customers tackle necessary replacements, Hiller is extending their lower 2021 pricing through the end of January. This is the lowest pricing expected all year. You notice all the inventory shortages and empty shelves, and now there are serious shortages on equipments and products for your home. HVAC systems, tankless water heaters, and generators are going to be extremely limited in 2022, and because of supply chain issues and rising costs of parts, manufacturers are rapidly increasing the price of this equipment. If you need a replacement, call my friends at Hiller today. Don't wait until you're out of options. Hiller's work is backed by the Happy You'll Be Your Services free guarantee, and you can learn more at happyhiller.com. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, my guys. Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Well, from my standpoint, I think University of Georgia, Kirby's program is probably one of the elite programs, you know, in the country. He's done an outstanding job there of making that program what it is. And obviously, you know, the players and people that are in the organization have made that program what it is. And we certainly feel like, you know, this is, you know, the best team in the country that we have an opportunity to play, the most consistent team all season long in terms of how they played. And it's a tremendous challenge for us and really kind of an honor to have the opportunity to play.
That was Nick Saban as they get ready 1 hour and 35 minutes away from the national championship game, Alabama and Georgia. And let me say something right here, right now. Right now, Georgia is favored by 2.5, correct?
Correct.
Okay, Georgia is favored by 2.5. All season long, I thought the Georgia Bulldogs had the best team in college football. All season long, I saw Alabama play a lot of these games and not look very impressive. And I remember saying and thinking, like, doesn't Alabama kind of stink by Alabama standards? I remember when they played Tennessee, and Greg McElroy was just crying on the TV broadcast about they're not getting lined up right, and they're letting guys, you know, they're busting coverages, and how could they, and this and that. And I watched the Auburn game, and I thought to myself that if Auburn could just tip one more pass or just get one more first down, Alabama wouldn't even be here tonight. And by Alabama standards, I mean, if you're not the best or obviously the best, then you're not doing good enough. And I was like, this isn't right. They played in the SEC championship game. I had watched Georgia kill everybody. And then I watched Alabama get by, barely beat LSU, who was no good this year, lost to Texas A&M, and I thought...
Barely beat Auburn.
I thought Alabama was kind of an average team with a decent quarterback, and that, not saying Nick was losing it, but I just felt like for Nick, this just didn't look like a Nick team. And I love Nick, and I consider Nick a friend. I don't know if he considers me a friend, but I consider him a friend. And I bet against him. And I picked Georgia. And I just thought Georgia had too many good players. And I just felt like it was just too obvious that Georgia was going to win that SEC championship game. That Georgia was going to push Alabama back. That Georgia was going to run the ball all over them. And that they were going, that Georgia defense was so good that they were going to suffocate Alabama. And it took me about 20 minutes of watching the SEC championship game to think, I'm so stupid for betting against Nick Saban. So stupid. Just no way you can bet against Nick Saban. And not only that, Kirby is so flummoxed by Saban. It's so obvious. So Georgia might win tonight. They're favored to win tonight. But you won't find me picking Georgia because I am not betting against the greatest coach in the history of college football. Alabama has a better quarterback than Georgia. And you may call it a total flip-flop. I said earlier this year, I said, if you want to give me Georgia or the field, I'll take Georgia. And I watched what Alabama did to them in the first game. Now, again, we've learned this. The NFL is a perfect example of this. Just because one team dominates the first game doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to for sure dominate the second game. But I just can't bet against Nick Saban. Not at this stage. And I know he got housed by Clemson a couple years ago, got spanked by Joe Burrow and LSU. But there was something about Joe Burrow, not so much Ed Orgeron and the rest of it, but there was something about Joe Burrow where he doesn't care. Nick Saban does not bother. Joe Burrow is as cool as a cucumber. Mm-hmm. That doesn't bother him. It clearly bothers Kirby, and it clearly bothers those Georgia players, and I think they feed off of Kirby and the fact that he melts when in the presence of Saban. He blew the first national title game. He blew the SEC title game when they tried that fake punt with Justin Fields and Jalen Hurts came off the bench and beat Georgia. And he melted this year in the SEC title game. I cannot touch Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs. And they were more impressive against Michigan than Alabama was against Cincinnati. And I think Michigan's probably better than Cincinnati. And I still can't take Kirby Smart. I refuse to go against Nick Saban in this game tonight.
Well, throwback to the SEC championship. And that morning when I was making my picks on Southeastern Carolinas, I said, don't overthink this one. Don't get cute with it. Georgia has been the better team all season long. If there was one theme throughout the entire regular season of college football, it was Georgia was the best team in the country. And it came down to about an hour before kickoff. And I thought, Alabama's going to win this game.
You thought 20 minutes before kickoff?
Before kickoff. I thought that's Alabama's going to win this game. And I even tweeted out. I was like, Nick Saban's going to upset Georgia today, aren't they? And that's exactly what happened. And I am with you. That's what I learned my lesson picking against Nick Saban. This Alabama team did not look very good this season. I mean, in the first half, in the first three quarters against Tennessee, Tennessee looked like the better team. I mean, LSU was 8 yards away from beating Alabama. Texas A&M did beat Alabama. And we learned later on in the season that Texas A&M wasn't very good.
No.
They went to three overtimes with Auburn, a team that also wasn't very good. But if there's anything that those four games have in common that I used against Nick Saban, I'll use it in favor of Nick Saban because he always finds a way to win. Not Texas A&M, but he'll find a way to win.
Georgia kicked a field goal. First SEC title game.
Mm-hmm.
Punt, punt. Georgia kicks a field goal. They're up 3-0. Eight plays, Alabama punts. Georgia scores up 10-0. At that point, I'm like, if Alabama doesn't get control of this game, it's going to get blown out of proportion, and they are going to be absolutely and totally porked. What's Alabama do? Touchdown, three and out, touchdown. And once I saw the second touchdown, I go, Saban's got him. And you could see Kirby melt once that second touchdown happened. So I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, man, they might blow Alabama out. And then all of a sudden, Alabama, touchdown, touchdown. And Kirby's like, oh, no, here it goes again. Oh, no. And I don't think you can win when you feel that way internally against Nick Saban. And I think there's another thing about Nick Saban is 2-0 when facing a team for the second time in a season in his career. He never loses to his assistants. I think there is something about Nick Saban with the chess pieces where he knows what Kirby's going to try to do. What you've got to do in order to beat Nick Saban is you've got to have the player. You've got to have the quarterback who can beat him. You can't beat him as a coach. So you have to have Trevor Lawrence, or you have to have Deshaun Watson, or Joe Burrow, or you got to have somebody like that. And I'm sorry, I know Stetson Bennett played well against Michigan in the semifinal, and I was stunned by it, but he ain't Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, or Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he ain't any of those guys. And the guy Alabama has might be one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, Georgia, if it was anybody else, if you switch coaches, Georgia. I'm not betting against Saban. I don't think you can bet against Saban. If you bet for Georgia, and Georgia might win tonight. I'm not saying Georgia's going to lose.
I mean, Georgia, I do think, has the better team.
They're favored to win, but if you bet Georgia today, if you lose, do not feel sorry for yourself today if you bet against Nick Saban and you lose because of it. Do not think anybody, absolutely not. There is no way and no how. No way and no how.
I mean, Nick Saban has 7 national championships, and that's not by accident. Nick Saban has lost 2 national championships, both to Clemson. Nick Saban does not lose on this stage. Nick Saban knows when there are big games at stake. What did they do when they needed to beat Auburn? They beat Auburn.
Well, that was the Lord blessed them.
Yeah, by the skin of their teeth, but they did it. And what did they do against Georgia on the big stage in the SEC championship? They blew Georgia out of the water.
We'll do Caroline's next. But first, I want to give away a pair of tickets to see the Eagles. And you can see the Eagles perform their iconic Hotel California album in its entirety at Bridgestone Arena on April 28th. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Here's the trivia question. And I think somebody will get this, but be the first person to have this answer. Call 615-737-1025. But you got to wait for me to give the trivia question. Nick Saban and Floyd Reese coached together on the Houston Oilers. Nick was a secondary coach. Floyd was a linebacker coach. There's a story that a very odd Houston Oiler coach got an entire fan base all worked up. And so the Oiler coaches had to wear bulletproof vests on the sidelines because there were death threats taken out against this coach. And it was a playoff game. The coach was Jerry Glanville, and he worked up the other team's fans. What were the fans that Jerry Glanville worked up? And the one hint I will give you is he bit a dog biscuit on television. Saban and Floyd had to wear bulletproof vests that day. What was that team? Be the first one to call in 615-737-1025. You're going to the Eagles. Caroline, tell us about Caesars.
It's time for the Caroline Fenton Caesar Sportsbook Report, people. So first of all, download the Caesar Sportsbook app. They will match your first bet with a free bet up to $1,001. Win or lose, just use promo code RADIORF. That is RADIORF. And what better to put money on than the national championship game tonight? The spread is currently 2.5. I'm taking Alabama +2.5 for 2 reasons. Better coach. I mean, we've said Georgia has been the most consistent team in college football so far this year, but what's even more consistent than that is Nick Saban. They've also got a better quarterback. Bryce Young has the shortest memory of any quarterback I've seen in quite some time. If he makes a mistake one play, next play, he is back at it. So I'm going to take Alabama +2.5. Better coach, better quarterback. But do it yourself. Bet it yourself and do it with the Caesars Sportsbook. Caesars Sportsbook, download it, people. Must be 21. Offer valid in Tennessee only. New users and first qualifying wager only. Paid in bet credit. Credit must be used within 7 days of receipt. See Caesars Sportsbook .com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Stillman and Company, we are live at 312 Pizza Company. Thanks for having us here. It's a perfect spot to watch the national championship game, which kicks off in about an hour and some change. They've got three $50 312 Pizza Company gift cards to give away via Enter to Win and a contest along with Dirk's Bentley tickets. You must be on site here at 312 Pizza Company in order to win. 312 Pizza Company happy hours from 2 to 6, where you get 2-for-1 draft beers all happy hour long. That means 2-for-1 draft beers during the day. Stop by 312 Pizza Company for Nashville's best sports talk and 2-for-1 draft. Leading into the big game tonight, of course, that is coming up in a little bit over an hour. We will have the coverage, ESPN Radio. Our buddy Trevor Maddich is lined up and ready to go as part of the ESPN College Game Day on the radio, their championship pregame show. And then Sean McDonough, Todd Blackledge, and that crew will have the call following us. It is time now to dive into the sports books on tonight's game. It's time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
There's not a lot of excitement for this because we did both pick Alabama, but let me just state here, I'm getting 2.5 and I got Nick Saban. Alabama.
I feel like any opportunity when you can be gifted, you know, Alabama being an underdog and getting that hook at least, you have to take it. Because I made that mistake in the SEC championship game, and I feel like a lot of people made that same mistake. And after it was all said and done, a lot of people said, well, that was silly of me to ever doubt Nick Saban. So don't make that same mistake again. Because I do think this is going to be a completely different looking game than the SEC championship. I think a lot lower scoring. I believe the over-under is at 51.5. I would take the under on that. But, I mean, still, Alabama always finds a way to win. They have a better quarterback. Give me Bryce Young over Stetson Bennett. They have a better coach. All day give me Nick Saban over Kirby Smart. This Georgia team is incredibly talented. And this Georgia team has shown us all season that they have a ton of talent. And they can win the big games. It's just when it comes down to beating Alabama on the national championship stage, it's going to be incredibly difficult. And I don't think that Stetson Bennett is the kind of guy that can pull them out of this game if they get into a hole.
Here's the thing. I think it's going to be a blowout either way tonight. I'm taking Alabama, but I think the only way Georgia can beat Alabama is if they just absolutely sock them.
And they have to do it early.
They not only have to do it early, they have to do it early and then do it to start the second half. I mean, they have to put it on them like Clemson did a couple of years ago. I think Alabama can win a close game, but I think Alabama's going to blow them out. I'll go Alabama 35-10. I just don't think Stetson Bennett's going to be able to do anything offensively against Alabama. I think Nick's played that card, and I think he's ready to play it again, putting the game in Bennett's hands. And his defense and his offense just a little bit better than Michigan. I'll go Alabama 35-10. What's your final score?
I'm going to say 24-10, Alabama. I mean, that Georgia defense is still one of the best defenses I've seen in quite some time.
They put 40 on them the first game.
I know.
You start blitzing that quarterback, Bill O'Brien, I don't know. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. Again, Trevor Maddich is getting ready. Kevin Winter is in the studio with Trevor Maddich. They will get you set for the national championship game. And then, of course, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game at 7, you've got kickoff with Sean McDonough and Todd Blackledge. Thanks to 312 Pizza Company for having us here today. We are out of here. We will be back with full reaction tomorrow at 2.